Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Oh, today is the day.
So I'm reminded hearing the headline news there at the top of the hour that the stories related to the sexual abuse of children, these stories continue to emerge. And I'm reminded that each and every one of us needs to continue to be prepared to be the kind of people that other people can tell. And so today might be the day in your community. You may not have thought that when the storyline was Pittsburgh, or when the storyline was some other part of the country where you don't live, you may have thought to yourself, I don't need to turn and ask my neighbor, did anything like that ever happen to you? But today, with the headlines out of Sioux Falls, today might be the day that you now need to turn to those who are closest to you, and you need to say, did anything like that ever happen to you? And you need to be the safe person that they can tell. And maybe you are the person to whom something awful happened in childhood. I'm going to invite you to find a safe person to tell. And that doesn't just mean anybody. And I recognize that. And I sadly acknowledge that a lot of people are not prepared to hear and process and receive the kind of information that many of us have been pushing down and hiding and denying. But those experiences make you who you are in no small way. And there is redemption. There is real healing. There is real restoration. We just talked recently with Nancy Alcorn about Mercy Multiplied and that amazing, extraordinary ministry. And that's just one ministry among many who are people are out there. There is help and there is hope and there is an opportunity for restoration and redemption and real life. And you are precious and it is not your fault. And you did nothing. You did nothing wrong. And I think today we need to remind ourselves of the difficult conversations that we have had here together about childhood sexual abuse. And we need to recognize the horrible effect and impact that it has not only on little children, but upon every relationship that that child will ever have for the rest of their life. And so I hope you hear in the tone of my voice an invitation, if you have been a victim, to find someone safe to tell. And for every other listener to be the kind of person who could be a safe person for someone to tell. So that's my encouragement to us today. We are going to be turning our attention here in the next portion of our conversation to what's happening in the media, both on the small screen and on the big screen, on television, on social media apps, and in the movies, video games, music. We're covering it all with Adam Holtz from Plugged In, and that's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Adam Holtz from Plugged In. Man, welcome back.
Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
I'm terrific. You and
great.
I have a lot. We have a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about today for a relatively quiet week at the multiplex. There's tons going on.
A quiet week at the multiplex.
In terms of what people want to see.
Yeah. So we finally saw How to Train Your Dragon 3, and
yes.
We totally loved it. Completely loved it. Yeah. So I don't know. We may be horrible consumers of media, but we as a family completely loved it. And and then we are also like really excited about, I know it's only going to be out for two nights, but the we're really excited about the Pilgrim's Progress film that's coming out like for a two night thing in April.
Yes.
So the 18th and 20th. So people who don't know about that yet, Pilgrim Movie is where you need to go online to check that out. Okay. So Adam, tell us about this Disney Fox deal.
Well, you would think that Disney would be like at some point would just press the pause button and say, we don't actually need to acquire anything else. But this last week, they finalized a deal for, I believe, $73.1 billion.
That point one matters, man.
Yeah, exactly. The point one. Well, I'm a stickler for details. So they bought Fox. They bought 20th Century Fox. And it pretty much includes essentially everything except Fox News. And I think some local affiliates are excluded from the deal. I don't think they bought all of the local Fox News affiliates. But they're getting practically everything else. And, you know, so that's everything from Avatar, because, you know, Disney needed another huge franchise. You know, now they can bring X-Men and Fantastic Four back into the mix because Fox has owned the rights to those Marvel superheroes. The Simpsons. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. National Geographic Channel, a controlling stake in Hulu. And you might think, man, that feels like an aggressive move. But the reality is, Disney is feeling the heat from Netflix especially and from Amazon and these other streaming services. And so they felt like they needed to be able to shore up their ability to provide streaming content and really to lock that down. And so we're getting sort of an arms race, if you can call it that, in the entertainment industry where the bigger companies are gobbling up the smaller ones just for the sake of survival. And you know, it wouldn't have been that long ago. It would have been preposterous to think that 20th Century Fox would have been bought by Disney. But here we are. And, you know, in terms of consumers, I think there could be some upside. I think Disney is, relatively speaking, just a tad more conservative, perhaps, in some ways than Fox might have been. Not politically, but just in terms of the kind of content their properties have. But, you know, on the other hand, I'm not sure that we're really going to see a huge difference there. So it's just it's an interesting time. Things are moving fast, and Disney is basically trying to shore up its survival by gobbling up its smaller rivals.
Mm. Okay, so the gobbling up of smaller rivals, I feel like that was a theme in one of those cartoon movies that featured fish. So we'll move on. We'll move on.
Okay. Yes.
So there are some movies out there that we have not talked about that that you feel like we should. So Nancy Drew, what's going on there?
Nancy Drew and the Hidden Staircase came out extraordinarily quietly last week. I mean, you would have had to have been camping out on websites and looking at everything that was showing to even know that it existed, which was kind of a shame because it's a pretty great movie. And I know sometimes as a parent, when I see my favorite stuff from my childhood rebooted, I'm like, oh boy, you know, are they gonna just wreck it? And there are a couple small, really pretty small caveats with this, but this is the Nancy Drew that we grew up with and that our parents grew up with and that our grandparents grew up with. She's a smart, sassy, spunky, creative, really intelligent girl. And for all of those reasons, she's a pretty good role model in most ways. And this is based on the second Nancy Drew book that came out all the way back in 1930. And she befriends an older woman who apparently has a haunted house. Nancy is not so sure there's a ghost there and camps out. And there's the appearance of some supernatural activity right up to the moment she sees the footprints in the dust on the floor and says to herself, "Self, ghosts don't leave footprints." And that leads into the unfolding of this mystery and nefarious happenings that are going on in her small town. But a terrific movie that I think really emphasizes friendship and courage. Nancy is spunky to a fault. Sometimes she bends the rules a little bit to try to, you know, find the information that she needs. At one point, she sneaks into a boy's locker room and puts blue dye into the shower head to get back at a bully. So that's something that the film critiques a little bit. And in our Me Too age, I thought, oh, boy, that's a little bit surprising. But, you know, this is not a deal killer. This is something that's easily navigable. But I thought it was a delightful movie, and I hope more people see it this weekend because this is the kind of movie we say that we want more of. And when they come out, we need to vote with our dollars if we want to see more of them in the future.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to talk next about History Channel's Jesus, His Life, but you and I need to take a quick break. So when we come back,
okay.
Adam Holtz and I are going to evaluate the History Channel's series, which begins, it's called Jesus, His Life. And then we're also going to talk about the impact of social media on mass shootings, looking back at the Christchurch shootings in New Zealand. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Adam Holtz and I from Plugged In. We'll be right back. So, Adam, if people want to get movie reviews, music reviews, game reviews, they can do it all at PluggedIn.com. So I'm going to skip over some of those things, but I don't want to skip over the History Channel's Jesus, His Life. Tell us what this is, first of all, and then give us your opinion of it.
Well, this is sort of a hybrid offering. It's a miniseries that starts next week, and it'll run, I believe, for 4 weeks. It's 8 episodes, so I think it's like 2 episodes a week. And this is a show that really seeks to give us a perspective on Jesus in an interesting way. Each episode features one important biblical character. So it starts with Joseph. We get, obviously, Mary, Jesus' mother. We get Peter. We get Caiaphas. We get Judas. And so we get, in some ways, each of those characters' story and how they see Jesus. And it's a dramatization. So we're not talking about somebody just using scripture here. They're fleshing it out, if you will, to give us a sense of you know, that aspect of the story. And then the hybrid part is it's also kind of a documentary, and that they have a number of history and theological experts that they have assembled and interview along the way to talk about what's happening. And some of these are secular. Some of them are Christian. One of the Christians is Ben Witherington III, and who I believe is at Asbury Theological Seminary, but that's from memory, so don't quote me on that. And they just sort of give a perspective on the things that we see in each episode. This is not a show that is trying to say that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is God, but at the same token, it's not trying to debunk that. So it takes the biblical story pretty seriously and respectfully, and really tries to unpack it. So in one way, this is definitely something that I think is aimed at believers, but don't go into it thinking that you're going to get necessarily a completely orthodox take on Jesus or on the scriptures. Some of it will be, and I don't think in terms of the dramatization, what they're depicting, that there's anything so glaringly off that it would just, you know, have you hitting your heresy button and screaming in outrage. But definitely you'll get some commentary that says, well, we're not sure if it happened like this, or, you know, that sort of thing. It's intense. It's probably more intense, perhaps, than we're used to thinking about just reading the scriptures. But I think, you know, on the flip side, sometimes when we see those dramatizations, it gives us a sense of what things were really like. So, you know, I think it's worth perhaps checking out for an episode and seeing, you know, if the intensity level is going to be high enough that you don't want your kids watching it. But I think so far we're cautiously optimistic that this is a show that I think could provide some insight and definitely a springboard for conversation in your family.
So there's some young adults in my community who, as an outreach to their non-Christian friends. So I thought this was interesting because I live in a place where kind of everybody thinks everybody's a Christian. And yet, obviously, when you're engaging with your friends, you sort of know whether or not they're living that out. And so what they're doing is they're doing it on the first night. And they're going to just start the conversation. And what they're planning on doing is watching. And then these young adults who are Christians are going to actually open the scripture and talk about whoever that character is. So on the night, I guess, that it features, you know, Joseph or John the Baptist or Mary, the mother of Jesus, or Caiaphas, or whoever it is, like Judas, when Judas's story is told, then they're going to, you know, open the scripture and like point to places where Judas shows up and then have an open conversation about that, which I think is like dangerous and scary and exactly what we need to be doing. And the one character who they noted is like not listed. And that doesn't mean that there won't be an episode that features James, the brother of Jesus. or the half, I guess the half brother of Jesus. But they have already invited their friends to, they're going to then try to work together to craft an episode that would be the episode of James, the half brother of Jesus.
Wow.
And that's going to challenge them and their friends, right, to like dig around in the scriptures, you know, where do Jesus' brothers show up? What might that have been like to grow up with him? And then use the book of James as a place to really understand, you know, where James ended up in terms of his faith in his own brother as Lord and Savior. So I think that's really like a cool way to use a piece of media that you know is coming out and anticipate in advance that you're going to have an authentic conversation because they're not seeing it ahead of their friends, right? They're all going to see it together.
I love that. I mean, I really think, especially in our age where we're used to seeing stories on screens, why not leverage this to have a conversation? And I hear you when you say it's dangerous, but it's only dangerous in that we don't have it all scripted out, right?
That's what I mean. No, it's unpredictably dangerous. I love
it. It's unpredictable. Yeah. And I think sometimes out of a good motivation, sometimes we Christians, we want to be in control of the whole process and we want to be in control of the conversation. But you and I both know that's not how life works. You know, life is uncontrollable. Life is messy. And, you know, even if something pops up in one of these episodes that you might say as a Christian, well, that's not right. You know, these are conversations the culture is having, and we don't have to be afraid of those conversations. We can walk straight into those confidently and trust God to help us to navigate those. And there may be opportunities to connect with people who have questions that they've never voiced. And I love the whole paradigm. I think that's a terrific idea, and I'm encouraged to hear it.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know how it goes. I'll report back.
Definitely.
So at Plugged In, one of the things that you have posted in your Culture Clips series is this thing on social media and mass shootings. So I know that we, you know, I just want to let you talk about this. So what's the relationship there?
Well, obviously on March 15th, there was this horrible, horrible thing in New Zealand where a man walked into two mosques and took the lives of 50 people. And obviously, you know, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of Columbine in 1999. And that wasn't the first school shooting, but it really was a watershed moment. That was a game changer where I think the entire paradigm for these sorts of events got reframed. And since then, we've seen Virginia Tech, and the list just goes on and on and on. The one in Las Vegas, in Manchester, England. Unfortunately, there's so many, I can't even remember them all. They've almost become commonplace. Well, what's happening now is that people are using social media to sort of amplify the horrific, angry, raging grudge that they want to deliver. And so this shooter, Stuart Bender, he live streamed the whole thing on Facebook Live. And Facebook is really being taken to task because it streamed for an hour before their AI even caught it. And so, you know, there are a couple things going on here, but these shooters are beginning to realize that not only, you know, is the notoriety of the event itself something that they're seeking, but they can actually sort of promote themselves, if I can use that horrific way of talking about it, while they're doing it. And so the government has asked a number of these companies, high-tech companies, to come in and say, we need to have a conversation about this. This is a problem because social media in its own way is now creating another avenue and another motivation that really amplifies their message. And, you know, despite all of the tech that's supposed to keep stuff like this from happening in terms of it being streamed live, it totally failed in this case. And, you know, I don't have a ton of sympathy for Facebook, but it's like, of course, Facebook has another massive failure. I mean, the last year has seen Facebook just stumble in all kinds of ways, and this is just the latest one. But, you know, I think that it's troubling that social media is now a motivation and an outlet for these sorts of mass shootings.
Adam, we appreciate the way in which you help us understand what's happening in the culture, particularly as it relates to media and our consumption of it, and frankly, ourselves as content producers. So each and every one of us need to be really responsible today in terms of our own social media and in our media engagement. So thanks so much for what you do at Plugged In. You guys can check it out at pluggedin.com. www.carmenlaberge.com. I'm Carmen LaBerge. We'll be right back. So as we have been seeking to pay attention to what is happening in flood-affected regions of the western U.S., midwestern U.S., we have become aware of Native American communities, tribal lands, that are being obviously greatly affected but have little coverage in terms of mainline media, mainstream media, paying attention to what is happening and the plight of people in tribal communities. And so we thought it would be interesting and beneficial for all of us to talk with a representative from one of the tribes. And so Claudine Cohen is joining me next. She's the former communications director for the Winnebago tribe. She has lived in both Nebraska and Wisconsin and currently lives in Wisconsin and is going to be joining us next here to talk about the unique challenges that America's Native Americans are facing in the floods. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. So if you are listening today in a flood-affected region of our Faith Radio listening area, I would very much like to hear from you. You can always text me at 877-933-2484. You can email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. Actually, you know, you can just tell us where you are, and we'll be praying for you. If there is a response in your community that you would like us to know about, this is a good way to communicate that as well. Again, you can text me at 877-933-2484. You can always email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com. And we just want to, you know, send out encouragement today to everyone up and down the Missouri, basically. And folks, obviously, throughout Minnesota and throughout Wisconsin and Iowa, now North Dakota, certainly Missouri, South Dakota. Our prayers are with you. Our thoughts are with you. You are not alone. You are not forgotten. We're not going anywhere. We are going to be here, and we're going to be here to encourage you and to walk alongside you, not only as you face the devastating reality today, but as you face the cleanup tomorrow and the redemptive future filled with hope that God has planned. The water will recede. The water will recede. And then you and I both know more rain will come. Like, there is going to be a cycle to this that's going to be difficult, and it's going to be long. And we are not going to lose sight of the faithfulness of God or his goodness in the midst of it. We are going to remain focused on who he is and his goodness, his provision, his graciousness. And when it seems like our resources have come to an end, we are going to turn to God to pour out everything that we need in all sufficient measure to meet the challenges of the day which lies ahead. And so please let us know that you're out there. Let us know that you're listening, and let us know how we can be praying for you. Again, you can text us at 877-933-2484, or you can always email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com.
Once while I was teaching a seminar, I sat down with parents of a girl named Anna. The people at church thought she was a wonderful young lady, and her small group leader loved her. But at home, she screamed and cussed at her parents. Something wasn't matching up. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. After a couple of hours of talking, I came to this conclusion. Anna was rebelling against her parents' strict boundaries. She wasn't allowed to watch TV, make phone calls, or go on the internet. And while those restrictions may have been appropriate when she was younger, by age 14, she'd outgrown such extreme measures of control. Mom, Dad, could high levels of confinement be pushing your teen to rebel? Keep your household rules up to date and age appropriate.
Learn how to get your teen back on track. Get instant access to Mark's free parenting course online at freeparentingcourse.com.
So welcome back. And in in surveying what is happening across the Western U.S., across the Great Plains, across the breadbasket of America, I'm trying to find ways to describe this incredible region of the country that is currently inundated by floodwaters. These are the places in America where a lot of our food comes from. And these are the places in America where many of our farm families live. These are communities that are resilient and resourceful. And sprinkled throughout this region of the country are some of our what are described as Indian lands. And so I'm wondering if you have tribal neighbors, if you have friends in the Native American communities who live throughout the affected region, what you're hearing from them and how you are hearing that they are responding. Geography plays a role in this conversation because the places to which tribes have been relegated are often parts of the country that then there's very little or no infrastructure. And so when you think about the ways in which your community is going to respond following the flood, I want you to imagine that you are on a what we have traditionally called Indian reservations, but you are on Indian land. You are in a tribal community somewhere in this great breadbasket, somewhere in the Great Plains region of the country. And you don't have the kind of infrastructure that exists in the cities and more developed communities, even in these same states and in this same region. So geography plays a role. Infrastructure plays a role. Resources, resource allocation plays a role, as does the resourcefulness of the people. And so if you were to try to find mainstream media coverage of what is happening in tribal communities and the tribal nations in Nebraska, and in other affected parts of the country, let me just tell you, the information is few and far between. And so let's not forget who's out there. So there are four tribal nations in Nebraska, including the Ponca tribe, the Omaha tribe of Nebraska, the Winnebago tribe of Nebraska. Each one of them has declared a state of emergency, as well as a couple of tribes in South Dakota. And all of this is according to pretty much local news reporting across these regions. Maybe you actually know where those tribes are located geographically. The Santee Sioux Nation in Nebraska has been dealing with severe flooding impacts. The tribe of roughly 1,000 members is located in the northeastern corner of the state, very near the Missouri River. They issued an emergency declaration actually on March the 12th because they anticipated flooding. And obviously, they've been totally overwhelmed and devastated. So floodwaters in Nebraska, where many of these Santee Sioux people live, literally tore through the reservation. News reports are that the reservation was divided in half. The tribal nation evacuated some 375 people, but estimates that at least 10 of those families are permanently displaced because, well, frankly, their homes have washed away. And so when we think about, you know, power outages and the inaccessibility of roads, when we think about water infrastructure, when we think about the kind of rebuilding that is going to take place in every community across the affected region, I want you to not lose sight of some of our most vulnerable neighbors. And some of our most vulnerable neighbors in these conversations are going to be Native peoples. They are going to be tribal communities across not only Nebraska, but obviously other parts of the upper Midwest as well. So there are some GoFundMe pages. And there are some opportunities through the Nebraska Commission on Indian Affairs for folks to engage directly in helping. I obviously love it when we are able to help through our Christian brothers and sisters on the ground. And so we need to recognize that these challenges are going to face not only local communities like the ones in which you live, but local communities that are tribal as well in Kansas, Missouri, all the way down through Mississippi. I mean, right, this is not going to be water that stops until it reaches the Gulf of Mexico. Like, right, this is how water works, and water works in this case downhill across the Great Plains and into the southeastern United States. And so no matter where you live in the nation, these conversations affect you. So we want to be praying for our tribal neighbors. We will continue to try to reach folks in the Native American community with whom we can talk directly about what's happening. I know one local tribe has deployed a mobile clinic to assist Nebraska tribes in recovering from the flooding. So we want to celebrate that. I know that there's one tribe, you know, there's casinos sometimes that tribes own, and actually they have opened their casino as a shelter for their non-native neighbors. So there's all kinds of stuff going on, and special prayers today for the Prairie Island Indian community. If you have any word or news from the Prairie Island Indian community, we'd like to know about that, because apparently they've been completely cut off and folks are not hearing from them. And so particular prayers today for the Prairie Island Indian community. And as the snow melts in northern Wisconsin and Minnesota along the basins of the Mississippi and the St. Croix Rivers, let us be praying especially for these native tribes whose land is completely in like the little V's where those rivers come together. So prayers extended, and let us be people who are prepared to help our neighbors in need. When we come back, I'm going to give you a little commentary on the week in review. So if you've got a story that you wish we had covered, let me know what it is. You can text me at 877-933-2484, and I'll try to give you some reflection on it. We'll be right back. God is on the move. So there are times when we are surveying the headline news that something just pops out and you're just like, oh, wow. Okay, so as a Christian, I feel obligated to have a response to that. I feel obligated to know enough of biblical history to be able to bring the truth to bear in a certain conversation. And then you also find yourself kind of thinking, did that need to be said in public? Did Christians really need to have the opportunity, this particular opportunity? So we've had a couple of those in the last few days. I have I've resisted talking about them with guests because it's kind of hard sometimes when you're not looking someone straight in the eye for them to read, you know, what you're thinking. And so I recognize that. And so when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said on Thursday that it's possible that President Trump was sent by God to save the Jewish people in much the same way as Queen Esther. Here's his exact quote. As a Christian, I certainly believe it's possible. He was referencing there whether Trump is a new Esther who in the Bible convinced the king of Persia not to slaughter the Jewish people. And so this is in relationship to conversations about the relationship of the United States to Israel, obviously the precarious situation that Israel finds itself in a very hostile neighborhood in the Middle East with neighbors who think that the Jewish people should be driven into the sea and Israel should not exist. And so there is a challenge that we face in our conversations as Christians in the culture. But I also think that one of the challenges that we have before us is to understand enough biblical history to be able to set things in appropriate context in our own minds, and certainly as we talk about them in the wider culture. In the culture today, conversations about Israel are pretty challenging to have. And so you need to know where your conversation partner is coming from. You need to understand how much they know about the history of the Jews, the Jewish people, how much they understand about the history of the nation of Israel itself in terms of the modern era. And when we talk about things like the Golan Heights, how much do people actually understand about these very brief, sometimes very brief, like the Six-Day War? How much do people really understand about what precipitated those 6 days of war and what happened? And frankly, how miraculous it is that it ended the way that it ended. Like, it's miraculous that Israel has not been completely swept off the map of human history. And so God's involvement and agency is quite undeniable. And yet, I think it's important for us as Christians to recognize the difference between the Old and the New Testaments of Scripture, recognize the difference between historic Old Testament Israel in terms of a people called by God and a physical geography promised by God to a people, and the modern world in which we now live on this side of the new covenant, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that is a complicated and complex conversation that you and I do not even have time to have here on the air in substantive ways, in part because there's a whole lot of theological conversation that has to take place when we talk about Israel. And so I'm not sure that doing so on a platform that then secular media is going to cover and secular media is going to soundbite. And so what we are going to get is the Secretary of State of the United States declaring that it's possible that the President of the United States, Donald Trump, is in fact a new Esther whom God has sent for such a time as this to save the people of Israel. I'm just not sure that making those kinds of parallels is particularly helpful in the context of the global conversation that happens in the world related to Israel and the Jewish people. So having said that, I know many of you will have great feedback, and you can always send me your feedback. I am open to it. I am open to the conversations that you and I can continue to have about this. I think what I'm asking us to do is to be careful in our public discourse, to be sure that not only what we're saying is biblically accurate, but that it contextually works in the modern conversations that we're having in the world today. Now, the biggest story of the past week is probably nothing that we have talked about here on air, because the biggest story in your life this week is whatever looms largest in your life. And I recognize that. So the biggest story of the week is the one that consumes your attention, rearranges your schedule, the story that gnaws at the pit of your stomach, keeps you up at night, or makes you weep. I know that. I know that the biggest story is the story that's the one that you face right now. So from where you sit right now, from the perspective of this moment in your life, your family, your community, your needs, the challenges that you face, what's the big story of the week? And with that big story in view, where is God in that story? And what's God's perspective on the big story that you're facing this week? Because what we're trying to do is to bring the eternal to bear on the everyday. And what we are seeking to do is to live faithfully as people of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Faith as the people of God deployed in the world today. People who know that all of human history is held in the hollow of the hand of the Lord our God, and that we are secure in Him. We are loved. We are created on purpose and for a purpose. We are not forsaken. We are not forgotten. And so I've got friends in Florida. They're in their 80s. They lost their 50-year-old son in a snowmobile accident in Michigan this past weekend. That's the biggest story in their life. My neighbors have a newborn grandbaby that's facing a number of surgeries in the next few weeks in order to repair some things that, you know, were imperfect about her when she was born. That's the biggest story in their life. I have a lot of people in my church who work for Lifeway. They and their friends are facing layoffs and restructuring as all of the brick and mortar locations of Lifeway are slated to close this year. That's the biggest story in their life. I had coffee this week with a young dad who's trying to figure out how to actually make money doing what he's been doing in a service industry that's changing every day. That's the biggest story in his life. And so I recognize that the biggest story in your life is the one that is closest to home and closest to your heart. And I want you to be equipped to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to bear in that situation. And so my encouragement to you today, we're actually going to end where we began. My encouragement to each of us today is that we would wait on the Lord, that we would be of good courage, that we would recognize that He is the one that will strengthen our hearts, that we would wait on the Lord. And so, my friends, today from Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Don't wait anxiously, but wait with active anticipation. Be of good courage. Be courageous and be encouraged and be an encourager to others. Don't just wait around for anything or anyone. Be of good courage and be actively waiting for the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. All right, my friends, have a great weekend and God bless. I'll see you right back here on Monday for more Mornings with Carmen. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way, you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.